So good morning. My name is Dan Carlson. I'm one of the elders here. Just kind of a side note on the whole shoebox thing. Long story short, my daughter was serving in Afghanistan in the military, and she asked me to send her a crate of those little circus animal crackers, you know, the box with the animal crackers. And she shared them with, she went to a young girl's school that the U.S. had started setting up and shared them with those girls. And it brought so many of them to tears because in many of these countries, the thought of a child owning something, anything, is unheard of. So a simple box, whether it's a shoe box, a little animal cracker box, can make all the difference for a child. It's just, it's mind-blowing how rich we are and how poor other people are. So please get involved in Christmas Shoebox. So if you don't know me, I'm Dan Carlson. I'm one of the elders here. I am delivering the message today. Pastor Micah is out on paternity leave, trying to figure out how do we go from a family of four to a family of six? How do we take care of two babies at the same time? So they've had twins. Interestingly enough, they found out that they were going to have twins when they were at the Minnesota Twins season opener, which I thought was just kind of amazing. But anyway, so that's why you've got me instead of Pastor Micah. If you don't know me, I'm a very simple man whose life has been radically changed by Jesus in my life. And I love sharing Christ with other people. And so I really appreciate the opportunity to do this. So this morning we're going to be talking about the gospel and why it's important. So becoming a Christian is not a once and done event. It's something as Christians that we have to do again and again every day of our lives. We have to surrender to ourselves. We have to give it over to God. And then wake up the next morning and do it all over again. Some of us here have been working on that process for many, many years. And some of us here are just starting out on that journey. Today's message, I really want to gear towards those of you in the congregation today that are kind of just starting out on that journey. I want you to understand what the gospel is and what it really means in our lives. So, Christians are defined by the gospel. Well, what do I mean by that? So, the word gospel literally means good news. The gospel is literally the good news of Jesus Christ. Christian literally means to follow Christ. So, if we are, as Christians, to follow Christ, we follow the good news of Christ, we follow the gospel. The gospel is literally the DNA of a Christian life. So that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. Can you join me in prayer a little bit to kind of pray over the message this morning? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you today with hearts that are open to hear your word, open to accept its truth into our lives. Father, we reach out to your Holy Spirit and we welcome you into our presence today. Father, I just pray that as I deliver this message, that there's no distractions, that my words truly are your words, Father. We give this all over to you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So what is the gospel? Most often you hear the word gospel connected to the word story. And it is. It's the story of Jesus. I tend to cringe at that a little bit, though, because in my life, in my experience, in what I've read, in what I understand, it's not a story in the terms of a myth, a fairy tale. It's the fact of God's love for us poured out through the life of Jesus Christ. It's the historical fact of Jesus' life. And that's what I want to present this morning. So we're going to be jumping around quite a bit in the Bible, but there's one section that we're going to come back to a few times. So if you kind of want to open to 1 Corinthians 15, we'll be looking at 1 through 8, roughly, if you just want to kind of keep your thumb there. But I'm going to start with 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. And this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Corinth. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised, and on the third day according to scriptures. That is the gospel in its most simplest form, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, he was buried, he was raised again on the third day according to the scriptures. That is the gospel message. Another way to put that, I found a quote on the Crew website that really kind of gets to the heart of what the gospel has meant to me in my life. I want to read this for you. It's the news about who Jesus Christ is, what he has done, and how that changes everything for all of us. The gospel, or the good news about Jesus, is the best and most important news you will ever hear. It's the most life-changing news you could ever share with someone. And that's what the gospel has meant to me. It has completely changed my life. And when it comes right down to it, the gospel is all about Jesus. So, who is Jesus? Many of us have been reading the Bible, have been following Jesus for a lot of years, and it seems like a simple question, but if you are new to the faith, it's an important question. Who is this man? I recently listened to a Jace Robertson sermon, and I don't know if any of you guys know Jace Robertson. He is one of the biggest rednecks you'll ever meet. He's the chief operating officer of Duck Commander. But anyway, Jace put this out there, and it just kind of hit with me. He said, I used to tell the story of Jesus, and I quit doing that. A story doesn't mean as much to people if you don't know the person the story is about. So if you don't know Jesus, I'm here today to introduce you to him. I want you to know him, not just know about him, not just hear a story about him. I want you to know who Jesus is. So the first thing you need to know about Jesus Christ is that long before he was born to Mary, his life was prophesied over and over again in the Old Testament. There's some 300 or more prophecies that were in the Old Testament that were fulfilled by the life of Christ on this earth. So 1,000 years before he was born, his life was being talked about. People like Isaiah, Micah, Malachi, King David, many others told about the coming of Christ long before he was born. I want to read from Genesis 12:3. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In Genesis, we're talking about Jesus. Jump all the way forward to Malachi, the end of the Old Testament. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. From Genesis to Malachi, the Old Testament is talking about Jesus Christ is coming. So how did Jesus Christ come to this earth? We all know the story of the virgin birth. But think about that for a minute. You got to realize that his birth was absolutely unique to him in all of human history. His mother was a virgin. With our understanding of biology, our understanding of science, that's impossible. But nothing is impossible for God. His Father was the eternal Holy Spirit. This ethereal being, this Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that teaches us, guides us, comforts us. He intercedes for on our benefit. That's who fathered Jesus Christ. His birth was prophesied in the Old Testament. You look at Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. This virgin birth was prophesied way back in the Old Testament. Luke and Matthew tell us about it in the New Testament. So in Luke 1:30 through 33, and the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him to the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Matthew 1:18 through 21 puts it this way. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So, Jesus was not born the way that we're born. And, you know, we have our natural birth. We come into this world, but we also have a rebirth when we come to Christ. And in that sense, we're born of God. We human beings are born of God. Jesus was completely different. Jesus was born God. Did you get that? Jesus was born fully God and fully man. So kind of in this, now this man, God, this child has been born. So what was his life like? Second thing you need to know about him is that his life was completely unique compared to anyone else in history in another sense. And that's the fact that he lived his life without sin. He lived his entire life without any sin. And this is a key fact that's important in understanding the gospel. So in the life of Christ, he poured himself out in love to everyone he met. In doing that, he was hated by the masses. He was scorned by all but a few. And yet, he lived without sin. So look at 1 Peter 2:22 to 23. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. That Christ was without sin made him uniquely qualified to atone for our sins. So you're getting this picture of Jesus and who this man is. So what did he do? So I'd like you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15:3. We're going to read 3 and 4. "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with Scriptures." That's the gospel. We talked about that early on. That in itself is the gospel. But Paul goes on to write in verse 5, "And he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted much of the church. But by grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not in vain." So this was written by the Apostle Paul. He's writing to the church in Corinth. And if you're new to the Word of God, you need to know that Paul had a previous life, a lot like me. In his previous life, he was known as Saul. He was a devout Jew, and he hated Christians. He firmly believed it was his God-given duty to remove Christians from this earth, and he killed many Christians. Until Jesus came into Paul's life and radically changed Paul. So when Paul talks about, "I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle," there's some value to that, but it's only by Jesus and the forgiveness he got through Jesus that he became one of the biggest authors, that God spoke through him for most of the New Testament. So in verses 5 through 10, Paul is also talking about, not only did Jesus die on the cross, but he rose again. So that resurrection, that new life, was seen by many, many people. It was attested to by many people. It wasn't a story that was just made up. It's a historical fact. So why did he do this? Why did Jesus die, and why was he raised again? He died for the atonement of our sins. He died so that we are forgiven of our sins. In Acts 4:12, it says, "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under the heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." Jesus, and only Jesus, has the ability to atone for our sins. An important thing that you really need to know going into this is that all of us, and I truly mean each and every one of us, are guilty of sin before God. And you know what? It doesn't matter if I think I'm guilty of sin. It doesn't matter if you believe that's right or not. It's a fact that we all are guilty of sin before God. And there's consequences for that sin. There's consequences for everything we do in life. The consequence of sin is death. So if you look at Romans 6:23, it starts out this way: "For the wages of sin is death." Pure, simple. It's bleak. You know, from my experience in life, I know that there's many ways to die. My physical body can die, obviously. But for some of us, we've lived lives where the weight and shame of guilt has crushed our life. We've lived lives where we're physically alive, but spiritually and emotionally, we are dead. And the thing I've come to know is there is no need for that. There's no need to walk through this life bearing that weight of shame and guilt. It's just a waste. And honestly, living in that kind of shame is living a lie that came straight from the devil himself. It's not what God wanted for us, it's not what God planned for us, and it's not what God has provided for us. The truth is, you're not going to move forward from any of that shame and guilt until you're willing to surrender to the fact that you have sinned. If you cannot get to the point of owning your own sin, you're going to stay stuck right there until you're able to do that. And, you know, in doing that, when we move forward, when we admit to our sin, the other thing we need to do is we need to be willing to surrender to Christ's love and his unique ability to forgive our sins. And that word surrender is difficult, but when we surrender to Christ's love and he forgives us, he forgives our sins completely. He forgives all of them, not just the sin I did this morning or yesterday afternoon or the big one that's haunting me from my childhood. No, all of them. He forgives them completely. He forgives them forever. If you would turn with me to Romans 6:23, we just read the beginning of that. Take a look at that with me. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages of sin is death. That's just the beginning of the story. The end of the story is, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And not only does God's forgiveness give us eternal life, it frees us from the bondage and destruction of our own shame and guilt, of the muck and the mire that we're walking around carrying with us, of that weight that we were never intended to carry. Jesus died to free us from that. And all we have to do is accept it. It's that simple. So I'd like to take a moment to pray. If you don't know Jesus, if you've never surrendered to his incredible love, I'd like you to pray with me now. Or if you've walked with Christ but your heart has become hardened, I invite you to pray with me now. Let's bow our heads. Father, it's written in your word that if I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and I believe in my heart that you have raised him from the dead, I will be saved. Lord, today I surrender my heart to you. I confess that Jesus is my Lord. I make him Lord of my life right now. I believe in my heart that you raised Jesus from the dead so I would be forgiven. Jesus, you are my Lord, and I surrender to your almighty love for me. I surrender the weight of shame and guilt I've been carrying, and I gladly accept your divine gift of forgiveness. Thank you, Lord. Amen. If you prayed that prayer with me today, I want to welcome you as a brother, as a sister. I want you to know that all of us, staff, elders, the whole congregation here at Grand Rapids E-Free Church, is here to walk with you in that journey. Being a Christian isn't something that you can do by yourself. It takes other saints coming alongside of you, and if you look around the room, there's a room full of them here. Reach out. Let people know. Come and talk to us. We truly are reaching out our hearts for you and want to be there for you. So as I said in the beginning, being a Christian is not a once and done event. It requires that we start new each day and surrender to the love of Christ. And surrender, by the way, is not an easy word for most of us. We don't like to surrender anything. But as we let go of the weight we're carrying, we find that the love of Christ is poured into us each and every day as we surrender. And that love continues to pour on us, and as it does that, we naturally want to share it with others. And that's what we're doing here today, just sharing that message with you. You know, for so many people, King Jesus is a hard phrase to say. We think our heritage is to not be ruled over. We think our heritage is to be free, to rule our own lives. There's a paradox. And that paradox is that we are only free when we surrender to the one who is Lord over all. That's the only freedom we will ever find. That's true freedom. Jesus Christ is the only one who can set us free. So what is the gospel? The gospel is the historical fact of Jesus Christ. He was born to a virgin mother. He is the only begotten Son of God Almighty. His life was prophesied in Scripture. He died, and 3 days later, he rose again. He gave his life that we would be forgiven. He was resurrected that we would have eternal life. That is the gospel. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning with peace and joy in our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for all the gifts you pour over us each and every day. Thank you for the gift of your Son and his gospel. Thank you for the gift of your love and your forgiveness. Father, we thank you for the gift of the love of all the brothers and sisters walking through this journey with us each and every day. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. Amen. That old rugged cross is all about the gospel. It's all about Jesus. It's all about God's forgiveness poured out through the life of his Son. I love that song. So a couple of quick housekeeping issues. One is, if you have time, we're going to pick up chairs, move them off to the sides after the service. If you have time and are able to stick around and do that. The second is, if you have things on your heart and are in need of prayer, I'll stay up here by the platform for a while just to pray with you. There's going to be an elder or two up here with me. We would love to pray with you this afternoon if you're in need of prayer, or if you have a family member in need of prayer. Just come on up. Let's do that. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your amazing gift of the gospel in our lives. We thank you for the gift of your Son, blameless, sinless, and his life poured out for us, for each and every one of us, that we could remove that sin that's in our life and remove it from your eyes. Father, we thank you for that gift, and we just cherish you for that, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen.